Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. All the world's a stage, and all the men and women merely players. So says Shakespeare in describing how mankind acts out many roles in this life from the cradle to the grave. He shows how similar life is at its beginning and at its end. How we go from infant humans who need someone else to take care of us to young adults who are invincible to not so young adults who are now caring for others, then all too quickly back to that infant-like being who needs another's constant care. And in this, Shakespeare is correct. He has accurately described the cyclical nature of this life. He has caught a glimpse of the frailty of man. So all the world's a stage, a grand stage on which we act out our parts. But if that's how we really approach this life, and then how we attempt to stand before God, then we are in grave danger and to be pitied above all others. If we stand on this grand stage as actors and treat God as a critic who will judge our ability, then nothing is real. Salvation and forgiveness, they're only a matter of getting the words right in the play and putting on a good show. You speak your lines and hang your heads at the proper time, and then I speak my lines and make gestures with my hands and appear solemn and sincere. And once we have practiced these things together a few times and perfected the expressions and the timing, we never have to think of them again. We are so good at it that we can do it with our eyes closed while thinking about what we're going to do when we get home. Our lips just move and the right words come out, though our thoughts can be a million miles away. Still, we've got the show down. And every Sunday, there's another performance. The same lines, the same words. We all do our parts to perfection, with a slip-up now and again. And then we go home happy that it went so well, happy that it went so quickly, congratulating ourselves on what a job we've done, believing that the critic is well pleased by our performance. But this is no show. You are not actors, and God is not a critic. If Shakespeare's way is your way, if your approach to God in confession and worship is like an actor approaches the stage and his audience, then you are not confessing your sins. Not real sins anyway, only imaginary ones. You're only fooling yourself into believing that God is pleased by your performance and by your fake worship. If you just go through the motions, if we say we have no sin, blah, 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 then what do you really expect when that absolution is spoken? Will it be for you? Will you have confessed any sins or anything at all? Your lips have moved and the right words have come out. But what about the condition of your heart? Confession of sins is about much more than the right words. It is a matter of a troubled conscience and an aching heart crying out to God that we are poor, miserable sinners who need his mercy. And if that isn't the case, if you're just acting the role of the penitent one, then real absolution isn't for you. That's just an act, too. We believe in the heart and confess with our lips that we are sinners who are in need of God's mercy. The lips speak the words, but the heart tells the story. And God is not a critic who judges an actor's ability, not even a judge of what the person says with his lips. God, the living God, the creator of all things, knows the story of your heart. It's not terribly difficult to see when someone in church is just going through the motions while their thoughts are someplace else. Many outside of the church can see that too. Plenty of people accuse Christians of a fake spirituality, an untrue holiness. Hypocrites all, they say. Confess your sins and believe you're forgiven, and then go out and do the same thing again? It's just an act. If that's Christianity, they say, then I don't want anything to do with it. And far too often, these critics of the church and her members are right. Their judgment is correct. Far too often we are guilty of just going through the motions, of checking the attendance box and mouthing the words so that we can go on deceiving ourselves and keep thinking that God is pleased by our performance. But God is not mocked. He is not fooled even by a good act. If repentance isn't from the heart, if the heart doesn't tell the story of our sorrow at sin, if this doesn't come from a terrified soul seeking mercy, then it's all just an act. That's exactly what King David understood when he penned this psalm. He knew that when he did not confess his sins, when he tried to hide them and kept silent, that his bones and his body wasted away. He felt the Lord's heavy hand upon his conscience that convicted and condemned him because of his sin. He wasn't acting pious as he wrote this. He wasn't pretending that his problems were of someone else's making. He wasn't confessing imaginary things, but real sin, real guilt, real shame. And when he approached God in that condition, naked and in shame for his sin, with nothing to hide, no act to put on, acknowledging and claiming and owning his sin, not covering up his iniquity, making confession to the Lord, immediately the Lord turned and forgave the iniquity of his sin. Not because David acted his part so well or put on such a good show for God, not because his performance fooled God into believing that David deserved mercy and forgiveness. That's exactly the point. David didn't deserve mercy and forgiveness. That's the point he makes in this psalm for himself, for his congregation, for you, and for me. It's also the point that St. Paul makes in his letter to the Romans, where he quotes King David. Now, to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but trusts in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessings of the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. The wage that you have earned for your lifetime performance on this grand stage is death. While you must work for food to fill your belly and money to buy clothes to cover your naked body, there is no work that you can do for your salvation. Eternal life is all gift, not what you have earned. For the one who tries to earn this wage, he only gets what he deserves, death. But for the one that does not try to work out his own salvation, but trusts in God's free gift, then the gift is freely given. When David didn't try to cover himself and hide his blemishes and put on a show, the Lord came to him and covered him up and took away his shame. This is how David can say, "Blessed is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord counts no iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no deceit," that is, no falseness, no treachery, no acting. Not blessed are they that have no sin, because there is no one like that, Jesus alone. but rather blessed are they whose sins are forgiven, covered over, not counted against them. Blessed are those whose robes are washed and made white in the blood of the Lamb. Blessed are they whose sins are put away. God must come and cover your sins over, because you cannot. You remember them even though you try to hide them away. But he covers them over completely with the blood of his Son, and he forgets them. And when God forgets them, they are gone. So you either receive the wages of your works, or you receive the free gift of God, which is eternal life. God either covers over your sins, or he imputes your iniquities to you. You are either penitent from the heart and forgiven, or a deceitful actor who is condemned. This is no divine comedy or drama in which you are just an actor playing your part. These things, confession and absolution, the Word of God, Jesus' death and resurrection, the forgiveness of sins and eternal life, though they do make for a wonderful story, a wonderful true story, these are really the things of life and death. And not just physical life and death either, but eternal life and death. But you who are in Christ know this already. Your life is not an act. Your confession is not deceitful. So you who are blessed because your transgressions are forgiven, you who are blessed because your sin is covered over, you who are blessed because of Jesus Christ, because you are baptized into his death and resurrection, you who are blessed, the Lord counts no iniquities against you. Go your way this night in peace, for God has removed your sins, and he holds nothing against you. Live in his mercy and love, for God has not forsaken you. He abides with you forever in his word. He has heard your confession from your heart and forgiven and covered your sins. In Jesus' name, amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding guards and keeps your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus to life everlasting.